Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church in Douglaston. Today is episode 23, and I would like to greet all my loyal listeners who did not miss any episode in the past. Thank you for your support. Let us start our program with a prayer from the tradition of the Armenian Church. This week's prayer is from St. Sahak Barthev, whose feast we celebrate on Saturday. Day and night, and at every hour, we beseech you and request from you compassionate Lord. Hear us, O Lord. Give ear to our prayers, so we may not labor in vain. Consider our efforts as acts of justice and fruits of divine worship. O Lord, accept our prayer and worship and reward us with your mercy abundantly. Shield us under the shadow of your almighty hand and strengthen us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Preserve us as the pupil of the eye and show us your kindness to praise and glorify your name. Because the entire creation constantly praises in the highest the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. This week, the Young Adults Group of St. Sarkis Church is hosting the annual Valentine's Party. We have on the phone the chairlady of the organizing committee, Mrs. Arpine Bezdigian, to give us some updates. Hi, Arpine. Tell us about the Valentine's Party.
This year is, I believe, our seventh year running. We usually hold this event not on Valentine's Day, but usually the weekend before Valentine's Day. It's been an event that many people in the St. Sarkis community look forward to because it's an evening where we can converse and have fun and dance with our friends. The last few years we've been selling out every year, and I'm happy to report that this year we have sold out again.
Excellent.
Our event this year, we've invited Kevork Artinian and band, originally from Montreal, now in Philadelphia. The planning committee is very excited to host it this year again.
So looking forward to have fun this Saturday evening.
Same here.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
The Armenian community of Turkey has won a legal battle for the ownership of a historic cemetery in Istanbul, in the latest success story for the return of properties seized from minorities. There are numerous Armenian churches and historic sites in Turkey that belong to the Armenian Church, and we hope that soon all properties will be given back to their rightful owners. On a personal note, last Monday, a good friend of mine text messaged me to tune into the Travel Channel and watch Booze Traveler. Sure enough, I did, and I watched a special show about Armenia. I was truly amazed to watch the beauty of our country. And although the show was about tasting alcoholic drinks from various regions, it also highlighted the beauty of the nature and the kindness of the people of Armenia. In the next segment, we're going to play some highlights from Booze Traveler Armenia. And if you have not watched the show, I highly recommend that you watch it.
Hey, it's Jack, and these are my top five moments in Armenia. Number five, something as simple as riding on a tram, overlooking Tartev Valley. The fact that I was on the longest tramway in the world and that I was drinking brandy certainly added to the experience. By the end of the line. Time to get off and see Armenia. Number 4. Meeting a 93-year-old World War II vet. I'm Jack. Who remembers every single detail of the day he was awarded the Medal of Honor. And, to top it off, he drinks a shot of vodka every day.
Apples, apples.
Welcome. Apples. Thank you very much. Wow, he's cool. Someone I'll never forget. Number 3, being invited to an Armenian wedding. I didn't know the bride, the groom. Congratulations. It's wonderful, you look great. But they said, come anyway, Jack. Enjoy our special day with us. So I ate with them, I drank with them, I danced with them. And you haven't experienced a wedding till you've been to an Armenian wedding.
That's boot camp meets Pilates, meets aerobics, meets stair stepper. Wow, is that a workout?
Number 2, a place called Speakeasy. It was really just a dive bar. But I had a couple of cocktails, and I just moved down the bar and met a couple of girls. And
what are you two drinking? I'm so curious about people here in Armenia drinking.
So we laughed, and we drank, and we just had a great time.
Who does that? Why would you want to do that?
That's a real special moment for me in Armenia. But my top moment, I delivered a jar of moonshine over a bunch of rocks for, oh, such a long trek in a truck that comes from the Soviet era to a guy who lives by himself, miles from humanity.
No cars, no phones, no internet.
He obviously doesn't have a car. He can come get the vodka himself. Is this Sergey?
This is Grandpa Sergey.
Hey! He just survives on his own, and he's 78 years old. But he was so warm and sweet to me, a man I'll never forget. Those are my top 5 moments in Armenia. What a great place.
Today, I'm chatting with a young dentist from our community who volunteers every year at Camp Siranush in Hayastan. Dr. Garo Nazarian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Narek.
How are you?
Good. I'm doing very good today.
I know that you're a listener to our podcast. You listen to our show every week.
I'm a big fan of the podcast. Actually, it's my routine on my Thursday evening commute back home on the train. Gets me home.
That is great. Dr. Garo, tell us about yourself.
Well, Dernarik, I was born and raised in New York, along with my sister Nairi. We attended the Holy Martyrs Armenian Day School. My father is Yerem Nazarian, my mother Madeline Nazarian. They had the idea for us to get very involved in the Armenian community early on, learn, read, write Armenian. I attended there and I graduated in 1988. I went on to Manhasset High School over here in Long Island. After graduating there in 1994, I attended Boston College, where I majored in psychology, and I sort of had a pre-med, pre-dental sort of courses I took. After graduating with a psychology degree, I attended Columbia University Dental School, graduating there in 2002, and then I did a one-year residency at the Methodist Hospital in Brooklyn and finished that up in 2003. From then on, I started working in private practice as an associate. I started my own practice in Midtown Manhattan in 2006. Got married in 2010 to my lovely wife, Rubina. We have 2 children now, Alec, who is almost 7 months old, and Alina, who will be turning 3, actually, this weekend.
Happy birthday to her.
Thank you very much, Tadai.
So there was an article published in Armenian Weekly in 2010, and in that article, you write, I spend a week providing dental care for the orphaned and the disadvantaged children of Armenia. This irreplaceable and one-of-a-kind experience was fulfilling, gratifying, and educational all at the same time. Now, my question is, for someone who started a private practice in 2006, for you to go to Armenia 2 years later and be part of a volunteering group for every year almost since then, I think that is something very selfless. What made you take that step?
First of all, it's an honor for me to be able to go there and treat these children. And I think generally in life, there's never necessarily a great time to give back. But you should always try to make time to give back. And I knew that I wanted to go back and give back to Hayastan in some way, and the fact that I became a dentist and I was able to have a profession where it was sort of almost a no-brainer, it just made it easy for me to be able to go back and help out. And I got involved by making a few phone calls. I knew I wanted to go once. I wasn't sure, you know, what the long-term effects of it would be, but I got in touch with Dr. Robert Garabedian, who got in touch with Dr. Viking Garabedian, who actually started this program 20 years ago, which is another story in itself. But it was almost a no-brainer that I go back and at least start volunteering once, and I got sort of hooked on it after coming the first year.
Tell me about your experience. You've been going there since 2008. What is it like to go and to volunteer in Hayastan?
Well, it's almost like a dream. First of all, the camp is not in Yerevan. It's in Camp Siranush is located in a small picturesque area of southwestern Armenia in a province called Siunik province. To be honest with you, the whole area is quite beleaguered. It has Azeri territory on both sides of it, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful, picturesque area. It's actually close to the town of Yerevan-Nazor, and it's almost like a dream going back every year. It's just a wonderful experience.
So what are some of the things that you do? What kind of care do you provide to the children there?
Sure. Actually, first of all, at the camp, the children, they swim, they play sports, Armenian dancing, Armenian activities, getting in touch with each other. Some of the dental services we provide for the children are root canals, fillings, extractions, a lot of preventative work, whatever needs to be done. Most of these children actually have probably never seen a dentist in their entire lives, so they have rampant decay all around their mouths, and we just try to do as much as we can in the time that we are there. Some of us are there for a week, 10 days, all the way up to 2 weeks. And we usually get down, we have breakfast, we get down to the clinic, and we just get started with four children to start off with because we have four operating chairs.
So you've been going since 2008. I want to know, have you seen any progress in the work there or the services that you guys provide?
Yes, actually, the program was started in 1994 by Dr. Garabedian, and he actually came immediately after the war with Karabakh and started the program with basically lawn chairs and flashlights and doing preventative care on the children, fluoride treatment, sealants. Slowly through the years, along with Sarpazan Abraham Akhtarian, they were able to get a dental van and go around to different villages and provide dental care. Throughout the years after that, they were able to get a big donation from a lovely lady, and they were able to build a dormitory, and the plan was to have a dental clinic on the first floor, which through donations, through dentists that have come through the years, we were able to have a four working operatory dental clinic, dental chairs with handpieces, instruments, all the high-tech equipment you can ever ask for that you would see right here in a New York dental office or right here in this country.
Tell me about some of the challenges that you experienced there.
Well, the first year that I went, it was definitely a little disheartening doing the first set of exams, just seeing the children that they've never had an opportunity to see a dentist or a doctor. Me being a dentist in doing the examination, just seeing the rampant decay. And a lot of the challenges also was educating the children, which I think was really important, not just doing the dental work or doing the preventative work, but taking the time out, which we did each day, maybe at lunch hour or whatever, and teaching the children oral hygiene, flossing, bringing toothbrushes there. We brought stacks of toothbrushes, bags of floss, explaining to them how important it is and how the oral health relates to the rest of their entire body and their well-being.
Do you think your message is being well received?
Well, hopefully so. Every year there's different children that come to the camp. Some years you see a repeat of some of the children. You actually see some of the work that you've done the year before. And the children there are so grateful for the dentists that come and help them out. Usually the first day or two, they're a little nervous, they're scared, they come in. And by the end of the week, it's just very emotional. They come and they show us their gratitude. They thank us. They really appreciate it. And we really do feel like we're making a difference, even if it's just seeing whatever it is, 120 children, if we can provide and complete their treatment plans in that two-week period, then at least that's 120 children each year that, you know, we made a difference, hopefully, for the rest of their lives.
Volunteering is a great thing. You can volunteer anywhere, but you've chosen to volunteer in Armenia. Tell me why. What do you get out of that experience?
Well, there are endless amount of countries, territories, states all around the world that need their dire need of medical care and dental care, underprivileged. me being Armenian, I felt like Armenia was certainly a country, since I am Armenian, that it was important for me to give back to my own community, our own country, and help them out.
So what do you get back out of that experience? What is it like for you to go there and volunteer? And then when you're packing your suitcase and you're on your way back home, what is the feeling?
Well, certainly the first year, I knew for a fact that this volunteer work was life-changing for me, and I knew it was something that I had to at least attempt to do each and every year. Never mind the friends I've made through the dentists that we've worked with, the dentists that we've trained in Armenia, the memories, the love, the appreciation from the children that we treated, and the feeling of self-satisfaction and fulfillment is truly priceless, and really the honor is for me to be able to have the honor of treating these children each year.
So, as a person who has been volunteering since 2008, I would like to hear, what is your message to our listeners? The average guy who is listening to the podcast today, what is your message?
Well, my message is you don't necessarily have to volunteer by going back off into a faraway country. You can volunteer right here in your own community. I think everyone should sort of incorporate that in their own lives, whether it's helping out the soup kitchen, helping out at the church, volunteering with the children in the school, or even if you do have a profession or a skill that you feel like, you know, you're able to go back and say, like I am, to be able to go back into Hayastan and volunteer. I think it's important to incorporate some sort of giving back to the community, whatever your community may be, in our case, the Armenian community, and give back and sort of incorporate that into your life and just sort of make it a point to try to get into a habit of at least doing something along those lines, whether it's once a week, once a year, and whatnot.
Excellent. What are your plans for this summer? Are you going back to Armenia?
Actually, the plan is to go back. This is also a big year, too, in Hayastan, too, with the 100th commemoration of the Armenian Genocide. I think it's important for us and a lot of the volunteers, some of them who haven't gone in a few years, some of them who have gone for 10 years, for us to all go back and make it a point to be there, help out the children, do our work as we always do, and be there this year, especially given the 100th commemoration of the Armenian Genocide.
Dr. Garo Nazarian, I think you and your colleagues are doing a wonderful job, and I pray that God will bless you. Thank you very much for stopping by. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Derhai, for having me.
Let's do the gospel reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, Chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. The reading today is taken from the Sermon of the Mountain. Now, when we speak about the Sermon of the Mountain, so many people out there think that the Sermon of the Mountain are the Beatitudes. However, the Beatitudes is the introduction to the Sermon of the Mountain. The Sermon of the Mountain is over two chapters in the Gospel of Matthew, and it is very interesting because it resembles the Old Testament, where Moses received the law from God, and God made a covenant with the people of Israel. The difference here, however, is Jesus goes up on the top of the mountain, and with him, he takes his followers, he takes the people, and he sits down and he starts to teach them. For us Christians, every word that our Lord Jesus Christ utters here on the Sermon of the Mountain, the words that we read in the next two chapters, is really very important, because each commandment that Jesus gives helps us to find a better way to live our lives and to experience the presence of God in our lives. Last year, we studied the Sermon of the Mountain in detail here during the Sundays of the Great Lent. Today, I will only be concentrating on the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes readers have a hard time trying to understand the exact meaning of what is poor in spirit. One of our church fathers, Stepanos Sunetsi, writes about this as he says, "The poor in spirit are those who have humbled themselves from a high position, as Christ emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant." I think this is a great way to look and try to understand the meaning of poor in spirit, because in this, I see someone voluntarily emptying themselves from everything that they have and accepting that the only thing that we need in our lives is the presence of God. And the reward for that is the kingdom of heaven that Jesus promises us. Today, as we reflect on this verse, let us examine our lives and let us try to see what is preventing us from experiencing the need of God in our hearts. Today we will listen to Hayrmer, or the Lord's Prayer, from the Divine Liturgy of the Armenian Church, performed by Our Lady of Armenia Choir. I hope you will enjoy listening to Hayrmer. I would like to thank my producer, Greg Dostur. I will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. May God bless you all.